Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger in the A-hole chair in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Maz comes to us in the Maz chair. Hi, Anthony.
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, just peachy. Thank you so much. The program comes to you on 98.5 on the FM dial. As always, it's beamed across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's a simulcast. The app is available to the App Store as well for the live stream or the podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub app on your iPhone or Android device. I thought today, Maz, and we thought today, we haven't talked any football all week long. So we give you some developing and some breaking Patriots opinions. How do you feel about that?
I'm in. Let's shake it up, baby.
Okay, because Big Jim Murray there in our update studio really has the lead developing football opinion. It just sort of spun off of when you watch draft coverage in the NFL, and it's, you know, specifically related to the Patriots about the quarterbacks, and the Patriots need to draft a quarterback. They need to start over with Jimmy Garoppolo and draft a quarterback and look at all these quarterbacks and who's available at the end of the first, who's available at the end of the second when they have their picks, who would be available. You got to restart at the quarterback position. Quarterback at the draft. How do you feel about all that, Murray?
I'm out. You do not draft a quarterback. They have five picks. They're going to be awarded two compensatory picks, from what I understand. One from Jabal Sheard, then it'll end up being a fourth or fifth. But whatever. I'm going on the premise right now that they have five draft picks. Five. And I don't want them drafting a quarterback. I know it's a deep quarterback
so
class.
So that's your development. You don't want them to draft a quarterback.
Correct. I don't.
Okay.
Because you are now, sorry, Bill, it's Tom here that you have to build around. And you have to continue to build around him and take advantage of the Brady window. Kind of like I wanted them to do, you know, last offseason. But they didn't. You know, they made some moves. Some blew up in their face. But, you know, they should have traded Jimmy Garoppolo. I stand by that. And now I feel even better about it because considering they ended up moving him at the trade deadline. You should have traded him in so you got more picks to continue to build around Brady. Well, now that you know he's here, for better or worse, Bill, even if you don't want him here, he's here. And if you're going to be here, you have to continue to build around him. You owe it to him. You especially owe it to him after the way you handled Super Bowl 52, because you kind of did blow it there with how you handled the Malcolm Butler situation in the second half. You have to build around Brady. It's deep at defensive end. It's deep at quarterback. You need linebackers. This team is thin at a lot of areas. If you end up losing Rob Gronkowski this offseason, guess what? Now you get I think you get to draft another tight end. There's other areas of need other than quarterback to me. It's about the now, not the future. And with five picks, you got to try to build around Brady, take advantage of the Brady window. Cornerbacks, linebackers, defensive end, offensive tackle, hell, even a running back. Oh, running back, Murray, they don't matter. Deep at running back in this draft, too.
You want them to draft a running back?
Yep, sure do. Build around Brady. Oh. Build around Brady. Screw the future. I want it now.
I was with you until you got to the running back thing.
What if it's the fifth round?
Yeah.
You and running back.
See, even when I
can't wait till Saquon Barkley goes like first overall and it makes you mental.
So I wish I could recreate the email exchange, because even when I agree with Murray, I don't fully agree with Murray. So I think he's on the right line of thought. So I'm going to help you shape it, Murray. That's what I'm going to help you do. I'm going to help you refine it.
No, this is how I feel, but go ahead. Yep.
So do you realize the Patriots have no picks in the fourth round or the fifth round? And their only pick in the third is their own at the end of the round. Okay? So you really almost don't have anything in the third, fourth, or fifth. I mean, you got one pick in there. One. And I saw that and I went, how the hell did they lose all those picks? I thought they lost all the picks last year. And, you know, Murray refreshed our memory this morning. Eric Rowe, they're still paying the price on that. Marquise Flowers, they're still paying the price on that. Interesting, by the way, that those two guys helped them so much in the Super Bowl, didn't they? Eric Rowe and Marquise Flowers. So not only did you give up picks, but you gave up picks for guys who suck.
Well, so here's they lost a third rounder for Coney Ealy. Did they lose a third rounder? I thought they swapped third and second and thirds for Coney Ealy.
Let me double check on that one.
Okay. They lost a fourth rounder for Eric Rowe. They lost fifth and seventh round picks for Cassius Marsh and Marquise Flowers. All right, so let's not do the seventh round on your own time. The fifth is the last pick. I'll allow you to say that they lost anything.
I mean, so they did. They gave up collateral from this draft too. Now look, as Murray said, they're going to get some compensatory selections here, but those are going to come in no better than the fourth, it sounds like, right? So even then, I hear it, and to me, this all relates to the quarterback in this way. You have so many other needs, particularly on defense, and not just on defense. You might need a left tackle. I mean, who the hell knows? I don't think you can waste any of your high picks on a quarterback in this draft. I think your needs are too great, and now you have fully invested in Brady. So I would just as soon at this stage, if they have fewer needs, I would look at them and say, take a quarterback at the end of the second round. Fine. Or the end of the third. Fine, no problem. Take a quarterback. But now I look at them and say, you're fully invested in Brady. You're starting at ground zero with the quarterback. If you want to take a QB, take him in the fifth. Take him in the fourth. Something like that. But
Then what's the point of doing that?
Well, because
what's the point of doing that? That's, I think if you get out of the second, your degree of difficulty there is through the roof.
I just think their needs are so high that in the early part of the draft, now they're stuck.
But the point is this. You went with Brady, so now go all in. Now it's all Brady. So overpay to bring back his coordinator. Don't sacrifice draft picks for that position, because now you've pushed all your chips in the middle with Brady and so on. This is your bed. Now you got to lie with it. Now you're really, you gave up the long term for the short. So don't have 1 foot in each. Don't have 1 foot in each. You decided to maximize the next 3 years over the next 10. So maximize the next three. And either use all your picks on players that can, you know, help Brady, whether it's on offense or defense, or trade the picks for more immediate needs because you put all your chips on the table for these 3 years. You peed away the next 10. So then, if you're going to be a Bear, be a Grizzly, right? Like, that's sort of what you're talking about.
So the more we get into this discussion and this thing started, the more I started to get pissed off again about the whole Garoppolo thing. But again, I'm not going to let myself go there. See, I don't think it is throwing a pick away, and I'll tell you what. I'll include the end of the third. You want to take a quarterback at the end of the third and take a shot, fine. But those high picks?
Can I just stop you? No.
But I don't feel that strongly about any of the quarterbacks in this draft.
But I'm just about draft position. You know, they got Garoppolo in the second. Derek Carr came in the second. Andy Dalton came in the second. You know, I see franchise quarterbacks out there taken in the second. Russell Wilson was a second round pick. Was
third,
he?
I think. Third,
yeah. Was he a third?
Third.
That blows my argument. I don't know. I just think once you get out of the second, please, you're talking about backups down there. So to me, it's the first two rounds, or don't draft a guy in the fourth or fifth round to be a backup. Now you're back in Jacoby Brissett. No. Either you draft the next starter, or that's a total wasted pick then. But I would even say doing the Garoppolo thing over again this year is a wasted pick. You know, again, just playing out your logic, which I think is fine, which is, you had a chance to develop a guy.
Those top picks that they have to go to talent that can help now. They have to.
31 and 43 I am not using on a quarterback. I'm not using either one of those on a quarterback for sure. You want to start arguing with me about 63 at the end of the second because that's down where they got Garoppolo? Fine, we can have that discussion. Maybe you can convince me with this argument that nobody comes out of the second round. I'm telling you, I wouldn't do it before the end of the third. I wouldn't. A.J. McCarron came in the fifth round. Take a shot on a guy like that. Like, I'm not. Given what they've done already, you've already screwed it up. You've already screwed it up. You gave away the guy you shouldn't have given away. You had him.
Well, you took a path. You took a path. You decided to maximize the next three versus the next 10, which is so unlike you and unlike everything else you've ever done. But, oh, well, it's close call, tough call, as I've said many times. Not going to bash him for it. I would have done the other thing, but, again, it's a tough call to walk away from Tom Brady when he's still at his best. So, fine. Either way, you said we're going to maximize the next three versus the next 10. So maximize the next three. Just be consistent.
And so ownership, is the one that made that decision. I don't think really Bill did because, Bill should have traded the guy in the offseason. He should have traded Jimmy Garoppolo last offseason, so he didn't. Now it's Brady. Brady's here, whether you like it or not, Bill, so you have to continue to build around him. You have to. Those top picks, if they wasted on this, you hear about Kyle LaLetta, who had a good Senior Bowl now. I think he's at Delaware, wherever the hell he is, and, he's got this, he went to, his dad was from Navy, and he played lacrosse, and all this backstory.
No, he did.
Get the hell out of here.
Oh, well, that's your guy, then. Oh, that's your guy.
Fourth round.
As soon as I started hearing this crap, I'm like, no.
He played lacrosse and his dad went to Navy.
Yeah. There's a Navy and a lacrosse background with this kid.
Oh, it's over. It's over. Tell me what this is again, though.
Kyle LaLetta.
Richmond.
Richmond's Kyle LaLetta, who could be eyed as the next Jimmy G. Detail.
Well, it doesn't matter. No.
Yeah. 73 touchdown passes over 4 years.
These things don't matter. His dad went to Navy and he plays lacrosse.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he once took a dump at Rutgers.
Okay, so these are the things feels like Bill emphasizes half the time.
LaLetta's father was a quarterback for the Naval Academy in the mid-80s.
Oh, it's over. This is the guy.
His uncle was also a punter for the Navy in the mid-70s. He's a lax bro. He played lacrosse.
It's over.
Yeah, yeah.
It's over.
And he took a crap at Rutgers.
Yeah.
When is he supposed to be taken? Like, what's the? Do you have a projection there for me?
No, I don't.
Third or fourth round.
Pats will take him in the second. They took the effing Navy long snapper in the fifth.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, second round. Put him right in there with Jordan Richards and Tavon Wilson. That'd be good. Take a guy in the fourth round in the second. I like that strategy.
So another side story here is, do you fully want Belichick making this decision? And again, as I say that, that's silly because he's the best at what he does in the league, in the history of the league. You know, just all things being equal in a vacuum, there's no one you'd want making this decision more than Bill Belichick. But some of his decision-making in the last calendar year has gotten a little squirrely, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, for sure.
So,
who do you think the Crafts want making the decision?
Josh?
Feels that way, doesn't it?
I don't know. I question mark? I don't know. I mean, we all want Bill. When Bill's, you know, when he's just being normal. Just do your thing. It's Bill. There's no one else on the planet you'd rather have than Belichick. But if some things gotten in the way of his decision-making here recently, that gives you pause with this pick. This pick is not going to belong to Bill long-term. It's going to belong to Josh McDaniels. It's more important for McDaniels than it is for Belichick. So is that fully a Belichick call? And do you want him? Is your trust in Belichick as high as it's ever been? Or has it been frayed? Has it been chipped away a little bit here? So this is where we're going to begin.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mazz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. For sure. Dave in Plymouth, though, on Patriots draft. Go ahead, Dave.
So, guys, isn't the elephant in the room what's going to happen with Gronk? Is he coming back? Is he going to retire? And does Belichick coach beyond 2018? Isn't that going to influence some of their strategy, both in the draft and free agency?
So, David, I would say when it comes to the quarterback, you're drafting for McDaniels, and it's more important for that guy than Bill, whether he coaches 2 years or, I mean, Bill's not coaching 10. I think we all agree with that, right? So it's Bill's going to be here 1, 2, 3 years at most, in my opinion. So it's really about the next guy anyway.
But see, I think the Garoppolo move in some measure may be influencing his thinking about how long he was. Because if Garoppolo were still here, let's say they sign him, all right? By some chance that Garoppolo says, all right, I'm going to stay, and Brady is going to play 1 or 2 more years. Might that influence Bill to stay because of that desire to win without Brady? You know, like I can win a Super Bowl without him, right? But now that Garoppolo's gone, I don't think Bill wants to develop the next guy. I think he's going to hand that off to Josh. I agree with you. I think he's going to hand it off to Josh.
So let's see. I don't know. I mean, Bill set it up exactly how he wanted to set it up. And
he had it.
He had it. And so, I mean, would it surprise you, or is it that much of a leap to say that he wanted to see it through? People bring up this thing he wants to win without Brady to prove that. Well, maybe that's part of it. How about just starting a project, being successful with the project, and now wanting to see it through? He drafted Garoppolo, developed him, had him ready to go, and that would be, I don't know, I'd get a nice little sense of accomplishment, on top of everything else, that I found the next guy, developed the next guy, and saw it through. So I think Bill would really be invested with you, maybe longer than he normally would have been, to see Garoppolo through now that he's not here. Again, 66 years old, and he has to start all over with that. That's just, I mean, maybe he's up for it. It's just sort of asking a lot.
I think the departure of Garoppolo directly is related to Belichick expediting his departure. That's what I think. Once Jimmy goes, Bill looks at it and says, well, now another four? I might have been able to win in a couple with this kid. Who knows? Now extended again? The only way that could change, I think, is if all of a sudden someone fell into his lap in the draft that he wasn't expecting, that he really likes, and says, ooh, wait a minute, maybe we're farther along here than I thought.
But, Murray, you don't want him to do that. At this point, you've...
No, I don't.
You're stuck with Brady, so just go all in.
Yeah, and a lot of these quarterbacks, they don't really do it for me. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm some kind of expert, but there's no slam dunk guy. I'm a big fan of Baker Mayfield. Most people aren't, but he's certainly not going to be there when they make their first pick. So anyone beyond that, they're just projects to me, and they're thin at so many areas. And okay, what if you lose Nate Solder? What if Nate Solder decides to retire? Now you're going to try to draft a tackle. I know that's not sexy, but they have to shore up those lines.
Okay, but now just jumping off of that, again, if you're all in with Brady, don't you have to do everything you can to get Gronk back? You have to pay him.
Yeah.
You have to outbid the WWE and The Rock. You have to. You know, if you're going to start over, then you keep Garoppolo and start over.
See, I think they've backed themselves into a corner here now
so
a little bit.
If you're going to keep Brady, you got to keep Josh. You got to do everything you can to win in the next couple of years. That means keeping Gronkowski and giving in to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's the most important thing that they have to do this offseason. They have to pay that man that money, and it can't be incentive-laden. They have to roll those dice and trust that he's not going to get hurt and that he's going to be here and be dedicated to football. They have to give him whatever he's looking for.
How's Brady going to feel if Gronk goes? He's going to be pissed. He's going to be pissed. Now, you won't blame Gronk, but he'll look at him and go...
I'm sorry to cut you off, but he's going to be part of the sales pitch to me. Brady has to be one of the guys fighting for him, too.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, they've now committed to a 41-year-old quarterback. And so what do you, and you have no I shouldn't say you have no defense, but you have holes on defense. You might need a left tackle. Like all of it, you look at it all, and you're going to what? Use your high pick on the next quarterback who might be ready in 3 years?
You had the next quarterback, and you blew it. So go all in.
No, Maz, it's fair to say they have no defense. They gave up 41 points to Nick Foles and the Eagles.
I mean, their linebacking core blows. They're going to need a...
The front seven's a mess, all of it. And they're going to need another cornerback. Malcolm Butler's gone.
I was just going to say, they're going to need another corner.
Oh, no question. Well, unless... How do you feel about Eric Rowe out there?
No.
Don't answer. Here's Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I mean, listen, as far as the draft goes, it is a good class of quarterbacks. The year after stinks. So if somebody falls in their lap and Josh McDaniels believes he can, you know, that can be the next guy, then they have to go for it. I understand what you're saying, Matt, but you know what? That's Belichick's fault. The personnel decisions he's made the past couple of years, I don't know how you're going to make all those picks up and, you know, do all this and get all these guys in that you need with linebacks and everything. If the quarterback's there, it's the most important position. They got to do something. Do you guys feel comfortable having Brian Hoyer as the backup next year? Because I don't.
I do.
I'm actually okay with him.
So am I. I think he's a perfectly good backup.
I think you'd win the division with him. No problem. I think if Brian Hoyer were your starting quarterback, you'd win the division, no problem. You'd be 10-6. Is there anyone in the division who's going to sniff 10 wins?
I
don't think so.
Buffalo, maybe.
No.
Jets get Cousins?
No. Either way, I think Hoyer as a backup is fine.
Yeah, I got no issue with the backup. How many years are they going with crap backups? I say crap, or guys like Hoyer, and you said and you didn't even bat an eye over it. I don't bat an eye over that part of it.
But Pete raises another point. I mean... You really punted at the draft for two straight years between Deflategate and the Cooks trade. No first-round picks each of the last 2 years. Then you trade or you flop picks for Ely, no second-round pick last year. So you've had only one second-round pick in the last 2 years, and that's Cyrus Jones, who's been a, I was going to say zero factor for you, but he's really been a negative. He's not added anything. In fact, he's actually taken away from you. And who knows what he's going to be physically coming back in his third year. And that sort of led to these holes. Remember last year's draft, Maz, when the team tweeted out Patriots draft, first round pick, Brandon Cook, second round pick, Coney Ealy, third round pick, I can't remember, fifth round pick, Mike Gillisley, fourth round pick, blah, blah, blah. Remember they tweeted that out when they...
I believe that third round pick was Dwayne Allen.
Ooh. No, he was the fourth. The third was Rivers, Derek Rivers. They actually used that pick.
Okay, third round pick, Derek Rivers, fourth round pick, Dwayne Allen, fifth round pick, Mike Gillisley.
Gillisley, you got it.
And they sold you on their draft being all these veterans. Well... Neat. Never mind the veterans sucked, but you didn't make actual picks, and so now the youth in the bottom of your roster, it desperately needs replenishing. They have to make all their picks. And are you wasting one if you take a quarterback there?
See, I think you are. I do. I think you are. And I would wait it out. If this draft is as deep in quarterback as some people are saying it is, and again, I think I told you a while back, Bruce Arians had said, and he's a allegedly an offensive guru, Bruce Arians had said that this is the best quarterback class I can remember coming in like 15 to 20 years.
So, as Pete just said, does it scare you that next year is supposed to be nothing?
A little bit, yeah, but again, I wouldn't, at this stage, I think you've backed yourself into a corner. You've committed to Brady now, and you really shouldn't use a high pick on a quarterback. So, because either that or you're going to have to go out in free agency and sign some guys to fill your holes, which we know they love to do. what are you going to do now? You've mortgaged and forfeited Garoppolo to invest in Brady. You did that. Now what?
Lisa in Marshfield on line one. Lisa, what do you want to talk about?
Hi, about the women's hockey game. I saw that the Canadian coach said after the game that shootouts shouldn't end games. Do you think that shootouts should be eliminated from the Olympics?
I got a whole spiel on this later on in the show, Lisa, so I'm going to save it. But you can guess how I feel about it. You can guess how I feel about the shootout in the Olympics.
Oh, you love it.
Oh, I think it's amazing. Oh, it's a model. Let it be a model to everyone in every sport.
I wonder if the Canadian coach would have said that if they had won.
What a loser. What a, I want to say, typical Canadian loser. Loser. Like, I don't mind the gal that took off the silver medal as soon as she won it. Like, that's sort of bratty and poor sporty, but it's also competitive. Like, I'm not here for the silver. Fine. Sort of a small gesture that I didn't have a huge problem with in terms of sportsmanship. I didn't know the coach said that. Oh, you whined about the shootout? You whined about the shootout? Oh, you typical baby. Oh, yuck. No, I haven't heard the quote, so.
How'd you like that goal the U.S. won with in the shootout? Lamoureux, is that her name?
Tremendous.
Ooh, what a move.
Tremendous.
She's got moves. She can play.
Easy. Dan and Quincy on the Garoppolo trade. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, Murray keeps talking about why didn't Belichick trade him in the preseason, Murray, right? You keep saying that.
In the spring is what he really means.
Yeah, he didn't want to trade him.
Yeah, but he had to know that the writing was going to be on the wall.
No.
He wasn't going to be able to keep the guy.
He didn't have. You're presuming he had to know.
Good point, Dan.
He wanted to keep him.
Good point. He didn't trade him in the spring because he wasn't going to trade him ever.
Ever. Until Kraft meddled. Okay? You didn't like the player anyways, Murray. So what do you care? You don't like Garoppolo. You still don't like him.
Right, because they could have gotten a king's ransom for the guy rather than a useless second-round pick.
Bottom line is, I was the president of the Jimmy Garoppolo fan club. I invented the guy in this town. I didn't want him traded either. But Belichick had no choice to trade him until Kraft meddled. He blew up his leverage, and that weasel Garnier is getting off the hook of this too because he represented both Brady and Garoppolo. I own the real estate license. You can't do that in real estate. You cannot represent the seller and then represent the buyer without bias. You
cannot
do it. You don't think Yee was whispering in Cleveland and or San Francisco's any buyer's ears that, hey, there's trouble in paradise. Hold out. Don't give them. They're motivated sellers. That means you reduce your leverage. You don't think he was telling that to the buyers?
There's no question, Dan, that Yee's presence made it hard for the Pats to re-sign Garoppolo because there is no way. Where is Don Yee's bread buttered? Tom Brady. It's his prized client. There is no one more important to Don Yee than Tom Brady. If Don Yee had made a deal with the Patriots to extend Jimmy Garoppolo here, what would Brady have done?
Dump him.
Pitched a fit. Don, what are you doing? Making sure the guy who's taking my job is staying with the team. What are you? You're fired. You're supposed to represent my interests. So Yee could not extend Garoppolo here in New England as long as he was with Brady. And why would Don Yee ever leave Tom Brady? It's the greatest football player in history, the greatest client you could have.
But I'm sorry, Belichick read the room wrong. He had to have known that he wasn't going to be able to keep both of these guys and that this was going to come to a head.
He miscalculated.
Yeah, he did.
He thought he'd be able to keep both or move on from Brady. He thought, pity, you know, poor Bill. He thought he'd be able to make a football decision.
Well, part of it, I think, is that he thought that Brady was going to fall off a cliff because most guys at that age do.
That one I refuse to believe. But that's just dumb.
He thought he had control of the football operation.
At this stage, I mean, it looked like Brady was teetering there when he was 37, 38. You know, in that, he started to, I felt there was some slippage there. But after the last couple, you thought it was going to fall off the cliff the first 8 games of the year? Stop it. That's dumb if Bill felt that way. He didn't feel that way.
Oh, listen, the Garoppolo thing was a mistake. He wanted to keep him. To me, this isn't, I have no doubts about this whatsoever. He said that. For crying out loud, that they didn't want to trade Jimmy the day they traded him. He said it. When does he ever tell you that?
So, Patriots in the draft, what do you want him to do? Murray, Maz, sort of like, well, don't waste it on a quarterback now. You went all in on Tom Brady, so go in all on Tom Brady. Build the team. You had a young quarterback. You had a chance to build the next guy, and you let him go. So, you're all in on Brady, be all in. That's their take. How do you feel about that? We'll get you updated on the Red Sox as well. What's going on so far today in Fort Myers? Have they officially signed J.D. Martinez yet?
Not that I've heard.
Okay, I'm just curious about that. We'll get to all of this right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I look at them as the defending American League East champions. So we have to find a way to close the gap on them. They just added another piece to improve on what they already had. And so we already know, you know, who they are and what they are, and our job is to find a way to figure out to somehow get past them and at the same time keep Toronto and Baltimore and Tampa behind us.
Well, you thought last year's Red Sox team was the Golden State Warriors, so what are the Yankees 2018?
Oh!
We're the defending American League wild card, the Yankees of 19, of 2017.
So you're not the Philadelphia Eagles?
No, nothing like that, huh?
No, we are the little engine that could.
Saying that he still sees the Sox as the defending champion. They have to figure out, meaning the Yankees, have to figure out how to get past them. The Yankees are still just the little engine that could. Your thoughts?
No, we are the little engine that could.
Your thoughts, Anthony?
Okay, so I have to admit, I'm mildly amused by this. Like, because even he, you can hear him smiling and laughing as he says it. Like, you know, they get two of the most prolific power hitters in the game, for crying out loud. They combined it, what, 111 homers or something, those two guys last year? Something stupid like that. And he's going to sit there and say, we're the little engine that could? So, look, it's him playing it up. It's also weaselly, you know, all of that. But he's just, you know, trying to take the pressure off because he knows people like Mad Dog Russo are saying that the Yankees are the favorites in the league, let alone the division, which I think is going too far. He's just trying to take some of the heat off his team because it's there. I mean, that Yankees team, for the first time in a long time, there's a lot of hype there. A lot. Even last year. You know, what was the discussion we were having at the beginning of the season? Well, they'll be, you know, pretty good. People like me were saying they're going to be around at the end.
Help me with their rotation again, please.
So their rotation is Severino, Sonny Gray, Sabathia.
Tanaka,
and the lefty at the end that I forget. Montgomery.
So Sonny Gray is there too?
Is it Montgomery? Yes, Gray is there too.
So that's not as bad as it's being portrayed.
No, it's not. I said this the other day. Their rotation's better than people are giving it credit for. And even Tanaka.
Yeah, he's your three. That's what made me think that, is that if Tanaka's your third guy, that's not horrible.
No, and Tanaka was money at the end of last year, if you remember. He was really good. He strikes me as the kind of guy that in a big moment pitches well.
Who's 7th, 8th, 9th? Where's Chapman? Is he their closer?
Yep. They still got Chapman.
Didn't he fall apart last year?
A little bit. Yep, Patances did too. But David Robertson, they still have. Warren, Green, Tommy Canley. They're stacked. They're stacked. The bullpen's loaded. Remember that deal they made with Todd Frazier?
Canley, the kid from the White Sox.
Yes, so they lost Frazier.
What I saw him pitch, though, crapped his pantalones.
He did, but for the regular season, he should be fine. Like, again, you know, to me, I look at them and say, they'll win the division. Will they win the whole thing? I still like Houston. I still think Houston's the best team in the league. But the Yankees are better than the Red Sox.
Okay, so there's that. How about what's going on down in Fort Myers? Say anything? Any concern? Any antenna going up? I'm going to keep asking this till something happens. On J.D. Martinez, he arrived yesterday morning, and now they're still waiting on medicals?
Yes.
And is that a concern to you?
The longer it goes, the more alarmed I get. Yep. The longer it goes, the more alarmed I get.
Are we officially in the alarmed stage yet?
Nope. If we get to tomorrow, I'll be alarmed.
Is there a report? Anything specific about what they're waiting for? Are they waiting for, like, results to be flown in? Are they waiting for a certain pitcher to look at?
I don't know.
Are they waiting for a specialist to drive across the state and take a look at him? Like, what are they waiting for? Like, what's the... I'm not saying there's a hang-up. I'm just saying, what is...
What's the hang-up?
What's the hang-up?
Yeah, no. So one of the things I read, and I can't remember if I saw it on Twitter or either in the Herald or the Globe, that said that they were... This is one of the things that can result when a physical is done somewhere else. So I don't know if he had a physical off-site or he had some testing done off-site and they were waiting for results. But you know my honest opinion? I don't care. It's all bullcrap. In this day and age, you can email results and send them in a second.
I was going to say.
No, it's none of that. To me, it's no, the only possible delay is if your doctor that you trust, your team doctor or someone that you rely on to read results that they, you know, consult, is unavailable because he's out of the country or, you know, tied up somewhere or something like that, and you have to wait for him. You know, maybe the guy's away at school vacation. Who the hell knows? And they weren't expecting it. Like, something like that I could see. But honestly, even then, it shouldn't take this long.
As you mentioned before, this was usually the specialty of Lucchino. Who, you know, the things I keep bringing up, the Jason Bay thing, the Mike Napoli thing. They've had a few others. That was really Larry coming in at the last minute saying, you actually had to give us back something on this and give us back something on that because we didn't like, it was, you know, just, it was something Larry would do, is just find a leverage point there to get a little blood from the stone at the very end. Now that Larry's gone, are you concerned less than you would be normally?
Yes, because I don't think it's Dombrowski's M.O. I think that Dombrowski generally...
Yeah, he didn't look at the thing at all. Who was the guy that came from Seattle with the shoulder?
Carson Smith.
Right.
And Tyler Thornburg.
He didn't even look at the thing.
No. I mean, he looks at the injuries and says, oh, no big deal. They're all hurt. Bring him in. We'll take him. Seriously, I think he's almost like, you know, he's been around the game so long that it's a detriment, I think, in some ways, because he says, I've seen it before, it doesn't mean anything. And he disregards it all. So the longer it goes on, given the amount of time that went into this, if this were early in the off season, I might say, okay, well, it's early. Like, but this guy's had all winter. They've had all this time to review results. They've had his medicals for who knows how long. All of that has been there for weeks and months. So maybe something popped up. And again, I'm not there yet. If they get through today and no announcement yet, let alone tomorrow, then I think all of a sudden you start raising eyebrows. But I would expect a formal announcement by the end of the day today, I would hope. Otherwise, you know, I think you start looking at that foot. And, you know, again, he had a Liz Frank injury that I think is worrisome. The other one he had was a fracture in his elbow. So that one is less of a concern to me because I'm assuming it resulted from a hit by pitch. And that one is an impact injury, no big deal. And it's a bone, right? It's also not weight-bearing or anything of the like. But the feet, if there's something there, if I were a team and it's in the foot, I would be afraid of it.
Okay, there's your little Red Sox update. They'll get back to your phones. We start with Patriots in the draft. What do you want them to do? And continue with that or whatever you want in our long commercial-free segment next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee. Oh,
love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The situation, we have a quarterback. I think that we felt as an organization that we needed to address that to some degree in the future. So we'll see how all that works out. I think you're better off being early rather than late at that position. We know what Ryan's contract situation is. We know what Tom's age and contract situation is. I don't think you want to have one quarterback on your team. I don't think that's responsible to the entire team or the organization.
If he felt that way in 2014 about being responsible to your team, and we know Tom's age and contract situation, and you can't have one quarterback, if he feels that way 4 years ago, he has to feel the same way squared now.
No, at least squared. I was going to say, like, tripled.
Except human nature being what it is, and Bill being what he is, would you blame him if he said, just to the Kraft or anyone in general who's listening, yeah, what I said then exactly applies. I drafted the next guy. I got him ready. I was right on him. We were ready to go, and they made me trade him. So I lived through. I mean, I followed through on what you're supposed to do, and it got taken away from me. Now what? You gonna do it again? No. Do that on your own time. And now it's up to you. I did the right thing at the right time and followed all the steps perfectly as you're supposed to do, and you didn't want to go through with it. So now you're on your own.
Well, it's an extremely unique situation with this quarterback and the fact he won't age out. So guess what, Bill? You lost. Swallow your pride. Do not draft a quarterback with your five picks that you have as of right now.
Well, I think his pride, if you're talking about Bill making an ego-driven sort of move, a pride move, a dinkish sort of move, he'd be like, I'm not drafting a quarterback. I did that already. You took him away from me.
How much longer does he realistically have left here now? Especially if there's, you know, if he's still butthurt over this whole thing, and it's maybe a year or two. Then to me, it's a wasted pick, especially up top. They're too thin at too many areas. They have to rebuild that defense. They need some help on that offensive line. Do not waste it on a quarterback who's going to be another project. More likely to end up being like another Ryan Mallett.
I wonder if they even want to make the pick now. Again, if it's all going the way we think it's going, and that McDaniels is going to be the guy next year, and we're getting these little whispers and stories that McDaniels had a lot to do with Garoppolo, then they're going to get to the end of the third round and say, Josh, this is your pick.
Let's watch where Josh goes on visits this spring. Let's see if he shows up at so-and-so's workout, so-and-so's workout. Who is he talking to at the combine? Let's follow Josh. Let's follow Josh this year with the quarterbacks. That may be instructive. All right, back to your phones in a second, but we do have some breaking Bruins news. They made a trade.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins general manager Don Sweeney announcing just a short time ago that the Bruins have acquired a 2018 third-round draft pick from the Florida Panthers in exchange for forward Frank Vatrano. So Frank Vatrano out, and in return, a third-round pick in this year's draft.
Thoughts?
I like it. I think it's a good move. You just gave away a third-rounder to the Rangers. Vatrano doesn't fit here anymore. And you're getting a high third for him. This is the number 9 pick in the third round. It's, you know, closing in on the bottom of the second. So, like, you just moved up. Think of it this way. Vatrano and O'Gara for Holden, and you moved up 20 spots in the draft.
I look at it and say, what is Florida smoking?
Exactly.
What are you doing? They almost released this guy. I think, I maybe we can ask one of our hockey people, Jimmy, but I don't think they can send him to Providence without sending him through waivers. Is he one of those guys? Like, they don't have options like they do in baseball, but there is something. if you're a certain status and you get sent to Providence, you first have to clear waivers. Like Bolesky had to clear waivers before he went to Providence. I don't know if Vetrano's in that yet, but he might be because he's been here. I think he's been with the team all year, but he doesn't play. So, I mean, to me, he's someone that was going to be released coming up here.
And Florida sucks. Right now, they have the eighth worst record in the league.
I mean, maybe I have this wrong. I mean, I'm just talking off the top of my head. We just found out the news. But Vetrano, as you said, does not fit here. He does not fit. They've got a half dozen, if not more, draft picks at the wing coming up that are going to get looks before Frank Vetrano. Vetrano had his window. He had it. He had last year and even into this year in this camp. Before a lot of these guys are ready, Vetrano, who scored 38 goals in 38 AHL games, if you can believe this. He wasn't just a point-a-game guy at the AHL. He was a goal-a-game guy at the AHL.
He was a sniper.
I think he had 38 goals in his first 38 AHL games.
It's actually 36 and 36 games here.
36 and 36. So his window to make this team and be somebody here was last year into this camp, before Bjork was ready, before Heinen's totally ready, before DeBrusque had a chance to take hold, before all these guys, and he blew it, or he's just not good enough. He's just a 4A player. And I'm not even sure if he's a waiver guy coming up here soon. Like, I don't know. Jimmy, do you know? Like, I don't bother tracking all the rules. Is there like a 40-man roster? Is he on it, not on it, blah, blah, blah?
He's on his entry-level contract. He'll be restricted at the end of this year.
So, but again,
so he does not have to go to waivers to be sent down.
Okay. But either way, was he a candidate to be re-signed here?
No! See you later! He's out!
You had to give up the ninth pick in the third round for Frank Vetrano? Oh, that's horrible from Florida's standpoint. Horrible!
It's a bad deal for Florida, again, because they're high up in the draft order.
You got a high third for Frank Vetrano? He was undrafted, right? Again, I'm sorry to ask all these questions live on the air, but it just happened.
It's everything you hate.
I don't think you... Was he even a draft pick of yours? I don't think you used a draft pick on him.
You did not.
He's an undrafted free agent.
Good value by the Bruins here.
The guy scores 36 goals in 36 AHL games, does squat at the NHL level, and you get a high third-round pick for him.
Well, maybe they think they can turn him into Riley Smith all over again. Remember, he went down there, and all of a sudden, he was like a stud.
This may be the best move Don Sweeney's ever made. How many games has the guy played this year?
25. 2 goals in 25 games.
I don't remember him playing that much.
I mean, I don't know if this matters, too. You know, he was making just under $1 million, so you save a few hundred thousand there, and maybe you tack that onto your cap space, and you get a little more room to make another move if you want. Like, put it this way. What's the downside if you're the Bruins?
I mean, I don't
there's care. No. I'll take every incremental gain I can get.
And that it's not a body in return. I feel like this is a move for another move that's coming, so that they can eventually move this third round pick.
Or to replenish the pick they gave away to the Rangers. Yeah.
But Maz just said you've ended up trading O'Gara for this Nick Holden, and you get to move up 20 something spots in the third round.
Correct. Yep. You just moved up 20 spots in the third round from 28 to 8. And you gave away Vetrano and O'Gara for Holden and the pick.
It's a small little move. I don't want to make too big of a deal of it, but talk about no-brainer. I look at Florida and say, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Dumb.
Third?
Seriously, dumb.
I mean, huh, Lord. Wow.
But, you know, like, look, we give Sweeney a lot of grief, or have, at least up until this year, because this is the fruition of his plan now, or at least it's coming through that way. But little moves like this can go, you know, can do you some good.
Well, it's so much better than trading away a third round pick for who's the goon they signed from Philly?
Oh,
Zach Rinaldo.
Zach Rinaldo. I mean, right. Like, so I find you're on the other side of something like that.
Or a second for Stempniak.
Right, exactly. And again, do third round picks on your own time. I don't care. But if you just ask me about the trade, like, that's an easy one.
Yeah, you just cut out some dead weight in your system. You added a pick, and you know, now you get a defenseman too on the in Holden that can at least give you some depth of third line or third pairing minutes in the playoffs.
So that just feels like a no brainer. And so nothing big has happened with the Bruins, but they are active. They are active.
I think there's more coming too. Right? It wouldn't surprise me again, because you do gain a few bucks in this.
Pierre LeBrun said, or someone, some national hockey writer,
Pierre LeBrun
said the Bruins are still in on Ryan McDonagh. But the price has to come down, okay? Which is, that's a big qualifier. Like, of course, you take Ryan McDonagh for a good deal. If the Rangers are still asking for the moon and the stars, then, you know, like, that's the crux of the whole thing. Of course, you'd take Ryan McDonagh. But either way, I, the window's open on the Bruins this trade season.
Murray, I'm still in on that Hummer, but the price has to come down. I want a Hummer. I want to drive one of those suckers.
Thank you for clarifying. You. Okay, so we've
what
got
about Carlson going to Tampa potentially?
You mean the defenseman? Oh,
yeah,
no,
Carlson.
No, Erik Karlsson. Erik Karlsson is why is that heating up?
LeBron thinks that Tampa is in on Erik Karlsson from the Senators.
That's a major trade. Like, that's a huge.
Why don't the Bruins use all of their assets and go get him?
I wouldn't want him. That changes everything. That changes everything. Like, Erik Karlsson's one of the best players in the league. Like, it changes your whole, what you'd have to pay him.
I'd rather have McAvoy.
Yeah, right. I'd rather have McAvoy on his second year with all that upside. And again, McAvoy is probably not going to be Karlsson. Karlsson's a great defenseman of our generation. I mean, it's just, but that changes, like, that's not something I'm looking to do. That just changes everything.
Right, it completely alters the course of your franchise.
Everything. It changes everything.
Like, you got a pretty good plan working right now. I wouldn't, to them, I wouldn't do anything overly drastic.
But Tampa, man, if they keep Hedman.
So they have Hedman and him on the back.
Whew, with Stamkos and Kucherov and all that up front, like. Yeah, so when callers say, I don't expect the Bruins to go on a deep run, like, that's sort of what I'm talking about. That's the second round team right there.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.